Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly, and joining me this week is stand-up comedian and filmmaker extraordinaire Jason Harris. Thank you for being here.
If you didn't put extraordinaire in, I would have walked right out.
Well, I know. I think one time I said something that you felt was insulting to your stature. Oh. I just want to make sure that I don't do that.
I remember that.
See, you remember it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why are you bringing that up? Yeah, I'll leave right now.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you you coming in, and because this is it's a big week for the movies. With Christmas coming up this week and next week, a lot of high profile stuff that's in contention for awards and whatnot opening this week, and starting with the movie that seems to be sort of the front runner for Best Picture at the Oscars and at the Golden Globes and at the whatever other awards happen to exist this year, which is Up in the Air. Jason Reitman's film starring George Clooney as a corporate downsizer, I guess. I don't know what his official designation would be. A guy who flies around the country and fires people for a living. And he himself is all about not having attachments and not having relationships. And he has this perfect thing set up for himself. But then some people come into his life and they upset his whole worldview. And he learns to love. And I don't know. I mean, I really wanted to love this movie, but it's kind of a lot of Hollywood BS, I think, under its snappy dialogue and nice style, which I did think it had. But at heart, it's kind of mushy and predictable, I think.
I'm with you in that I'm a big Jason Reitman fan. I think we both are. Thank You for Smoking. Awesome movie.
Yes,
Juno,
excellent.
Huge success. Good movie, you know, and like, I wonder if part of this is just like the anointment of Jason Reitman as like the new IT director. You know what I mean?
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he was already. I mean, he's Oscar nominated for Juno and he's
it's well directed. It's well acted. I just think it loses punch in the writing. Like the story's predictable. You were talking about how he finds love and, you know, there's some chaos or turmoil that ensues because of that. And it's like such a like obvious thing, you know, like it's like, you know, screenwriting 101 type thing. But I don't know. I wouldn't mind, like, you know, I like the acting in it, so I wouldn't mind if they get some of those awards or whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just kind of just, I think what happens is like it just hits a level and it never gets above that level. You want it to keep.
Right. You want it to be sort of like really reach you on a deeper emotional.
It's not a bad movie.
No, not at all. And I think I liked it. I really quite liked it up until sort of the third act, I guess, where they really push all the buttons of the George Clooney character changing and growing and all of that stuff, which really to me seemed false and overly sentimentalized. But yeah, they're excellent actors. Anna Kendrick, who plays George Clooney's sort of protege, who's gotten a lot of attention, and she does a good job. And Vera Farmiga, who plays his love interest, who's been really kind of over the top, I think, in a lot of other stuff that she's done, and she's very good here too. So, yeah, I agree. It's not a bad movie, but it's not as good a movie as it's being made out to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's like Clooney's the perfect actor for that type of thing. Like he can make you like him in anything he does, you know.
Right.
So yeah, and it looks great. I mean, Jason Reitman can direct a movie. It's just like you like you said, you want it to just, you know, kind of reach that next level or whatever it is, you know, that next plateau, and it just never does.
No, it never manages to get there, unfortunately. So I would still give this like 3 out of 5 stars. I think it's worth the look, especially because it's gotten so much attention, to sort of see what it's all about, but don't expect greatness out of it, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you the whole way. So I'm just going to give 3 Josh Bell reviews out of 5 Josh Bell reviews.
Oh, thank you.
So, you know.
that's a good scale that you've got going for yourself.
Hey, I agreed with you. So why bother changing things around?
Fair enough. Also opening this week is, strange enough, a movie that I think is better. It was probably one of my favorite movies of the year, and seemed at one time to be poised to make all of these award nominations as Up in the Air has, and really it just hasn't. Which is The Road, John Hillcoat's adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's post-apocalyptic novel, a very, very well-regarded book, won the Pulitzer Prize, loads of great reviews. And this is a very bleak, sort of stark film, I guess you would say. It's about a man played by Viggo Mortensen and his son, and they are some point after some sort of disaster that is never really explained has happened, and they're in this post-apocalyptic world. They're going towards the coast is really the entire plot of the movie, trying to find something better for themselves and really never succeeding at it. This is a very, it's a very bleak film. It's definitely a movie. It's not like one of those exciting action spectacles about the end of the world. The end of the world really sucks in this movie, I think. But it's effective. I like that about it.
I really like this movie, too. I'm with you on this one. And to me, as far as, like, lead actors go, I think this was the best lead actor performance I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's great in these kind of just, like, I mean, he's just a great underrated. I think he's an underrated
he
actor.
He is in a weird
though,
way,
you know?
Even though he's been nominated for a lot of awards. But he takes these sort of offbeat parts a lot of the time. And
yeah.
He's not Brad Pitt. He's not out there getting photographed and in tabloids and stuff, but he's really an excellent actor.
Yeah, and this, he carries this movie, and the kid is really good too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what he's from, but he's a good actor, the little kid. And,
right.
But yeah, I mean, it looks good. It's interestingly shot, and it's just, and Charlize Theron, you only see her in these flashbacks. She plays the wife, who really just decides that she doesn't want to be a part of whatever the world has to offer anymore.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, one after the other, like how much more down can they take you? But it's really
right.
good. And her last scene where, you know, look, you know what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But where she finally just gives in, like, is probably one of the most effective scenes in film, like in recent memory, I think.
Wow.
I think so. It's really good. I liked
yeah.
it. And I like the movie. And it's quite depressing, but, you know, it was a good film.
Yeah, it is a good film. I mean, and it's depressing, and in a way, though, it does have hope and optimism to it. I mean, not to give away the ending, but there is a positive spin that comes towards the end. And I thought, actually, there were moments that were almost a little too sentimentalized. The score kind of pushes you a little too hard. And, I mean, having read the book, and I actually preferred the movie to the book. The book is a little more impressionistic, and the author, he's not really a big fan of punctuation. So it's.
But who of us is?
Well, as a journalist, I personally appreciate punctuation. But so the book almost has this sort of impressionistic feel, and the movie's a lot more grounded, a lot more real. And I like that about it, even though that makes it almost more depressing, because you can see there's no escapist aspect to the story. There's no, like, supernatural anything going on or whatever. But yeah, I thought you may end up depressed by this movie, but at the same time, it's about how human beings can go on even in the face of all this unbelievable awfulness that is happening to them.
One thing I liked about the ending is so much of it is visual, you know,
yeah.
like you're looking at characters and seeing how they react, you know, and
mm-hmm.
like, you know, a lot of it with the kid and whatever, not to give – that doesn't give anything away, I don't think, you know. The kid is there at the end.
The kid is there at the end. He is one of the two main characters.
Yeah.
So, yes, he appears at the end of the movie.
Yeah. So, anyway, he – I mean, it's really good, like, in the way it was – they let kind of, you know, the actor's expressions and the visuals, like, kind of just tell that story.
Right.
The question for you was
yes.
in the book, I mean, one of the main supporting characters is this Robert Duvall kind of,
right.
old man on the verge of dying character, you know, is that as effective as in the book or is it a totally different thing?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, it's a little like the movie is very faithful to the book overall. Certain parts are expanded, I think, because any of the supporting characters, including Charlize Theron as the wife who is mentioned a handful of times, but I mean, they definitely expanded on her part for the movie. I think in order for those characters to have any sort of impact, you needed to broaden what they do. And I think that's effectively done here. I don't think he betrays the spirit of the book in any way. But yeah, the Duvall character, I think, almost has a little less impact in the book because he shows up for a briefer period of time. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I think that was one of the moments where they really press your emotional buttons in the movie, and the book is a lot less about that. So I don't know. It's a different approach. I don't know that one in that particular instance is better than the other necessarily. Yeah.
I just think it's a good movie, and it's totally different than pretty much anything that's out there right now.
Yeah.
So it's worth checking out. You
yeah,
know,
absolutely. So. No, I agree. And I think despite the fact that it seems to have gotten less attention than it seemed like it would have at one time, I hope people make the effort to check it out because it's worthwhile. So definitely see that. And the movie, I think.
Are you going to rate it?
We can rate it. I give it 3.5 out of 5 stars.
I will give it 4 Josh Bell reviews out of 5 Josh Bell reviews.
I like that you're sticking with this scale. It's a really good scale. So yeah, but this is I think maybe you liked it a little more than I did, but I agree with you that this is definitely a good movie that people should see. But I think what everyone is going to want to see this weekend is James Cameron's Avatar, which Jason was not able to see because it was a strict embargo on the screening.
I want to see it this weekend. I totally want to see it whenever.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. And I was very excited to see this movie as well. And I think it's worth seeing. I mean, if you're interested in seeing it, I think definitely go check it out. Visually, this movie is unbelievable. And I would almost never recommend seeing a movie purely because it has amazing special effects or amazing visuals or whatever. But this is the one movie that I think is worth seeing solely for that reason. Just the way that James Cameron creates this world, this other planet called Pandora, which is inhabited by the blue-skinned native peoples called the Na'vi. And
big Smurfs.
Yes, they kind of do. They look like Thundercats a little bit as well. So, yeah, they're a little cheesy. But, I mean, they look so real in their own weird way. I mean, and that's the thing about this is that he's created stuff, and it's not just special effects that are being used to make a building blow up or a plane crash or something like that. I mean, this is completely imagined stuff that he's created out of his mind and, you know, that the designers that he employs have put together. And it's just amazing the way that the world is created and the way that it looks and the 3D. And I'm not a fan of 3D, but I think here the 3D really brings you into the world, and it's all just really, really well done. Unfortunately, there's still a story and characters.
That is a problem.
And that's really where the movie falls apart. And I love James Cameron, and certainly his stuff is generally cheesy, but this is by far, even compared to Titanic, I think the cheesiest thing that he's ever done. And the story is just really kind of mushy, heavy-handed thing about respecting the environment and native peoples. And a lot of reviews have compared it to Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest, which I
really
think, yes, really.
Did you see Fern Gully?
I think I saw it when I was a kid. I don't know if I remember enough about it to offer up a reasoned comparison, but enough people have mentioned that.
I've never seen Fern Gully, so
I don't
can't speak
think
on
that Fern Gully is a movie that is really held in high regard by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it is that sort of thing. It is very heavy-handed lessons kind of stuff. And to me, a lot of Dances with Wolves, where the main character, Sam Worthington's character, kind of goes native and becomes one of the people who are obviously very much analogous to Native Americans. And it's just done in a very clumsy way. And I don't think there's enough memorable characters or one-liners or whatever, things that Cameron has done really well in past movies. Looks great, but story-wise, character-wise,
doesn't hold up to Fern Gully.
It doesn't hold up. Well, it may hold up to Fern Gully, but it doesn't hold up to, you know, Aliens or Terminator 2 or stuff like that, that Cameron has done in the past. So disappointing for me in that sense, but still worth seeing, I think. And I would give it 3 stars regardless, and I'm sure you will appreciate the way that it looks.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he get a Golden Globe nod for a director or something?
He did. And
you almost think he should, because he's changing, like, the technology is changing the way movies can be shot and everything.
Right, and that's cool, but I feel like that maybe is best for a technical award or something. I mean, in terms of what a director does, it's not just about technical aspects. I mean, in terms of directing actors and crafting a story and editing, I mean, this movie is way too long. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Yeah, but when you make one movie every 10 years now, you can pretty much decide what you want
to do. Yeah, well, obviously, and I'm sure it's going to make a lot of money, and he'll be able to do whatever he wants for the next movie too, but still, I would have hoped for more.
Yeah. Oscar nom for it?
Maybe. I mean, certainly all of the technical categories will get that. I mean,
director.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, I don't think it's going to get, although, you know what? It may get picture because they've expanded that to 10 this year, so, which is stupid. Yes.
Ridiculous.
I see you shaking your head. Right.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan either, but I think it may lead to this movie getting a nomination. So we'll see. And then again, it's just, this is a big time for movies in general. And, next week for Christmas, there's quite a lot of stuff. Guy Ritchie's, Sherlock Holmes and, multiple Golden Globe nominee, It's Complicated, with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. And another movie that Jason and I saw together, which was also nominated for a lot of Golden Globes, is Nine, Rob Marshall's musical adaptation of Fellini's 8½, based on a stage play from, I think, like the 1980s is when it originated. And this is just a bad movie, I think.
I think it would have been a good play, you know. When I looked at it, I was like, but 10 minutes in, I thought like, oh, I don't think I'm going to end up liking this.
And you were right.
Well, because you can just like almost say like, well, there's really nowhere for them to take this story.
Right.
And there was nowhere for them to take this story, right?
It was true. Yeah, the film is about Daniel Day-Lewis plays a filmmaker who is having issues putting together his latest film, and the women in his life all kind of appear and they each get to sing a song that's representative.
Mostly on staircases.
Yes. There's really just one set, this sort of warehouse set where all of the musical numbers take place. And that to me was one of the problems too, is that the musical numbers feel like they don't even fit into the movie because the movie just kind of stops and then they do a song and they don't integrate into the story in any way.
Yeah, it's not kind of, you know, there's no continuity to it or anything. It's continuity-wise, but there's nothing like as far as organic within the framework of the story.
Right. It definitely doesn't fit together, and the songs are not that impressive. And
Fergie's is the best one, but she's a real singer, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought Marion Cotillard, who played Edith Piaf, in
she's good.
Yeah, she did a decent job with the singing, but some of the singing is really, I mean, Kate Hudson.
Yeah, and we had talked about this. Like, I mean, it was just awful. I don't even know if her character was in the play, but
I don't think her character is in the play. Yeah, I mean, the song that she sings was written for the movie,
right? And you had mentioned when we saw that, because that's the worst song by far.
Yes.
Music this year. No, I don't know wow. About that. No, I'm just kidding. But in the movie, and like, I was like, why is this? One, the character serves no purpose.
Right.
Two, like, the song really serves no purpose. And you had said they probably just wrote it to get an award nomination.
And that's exactly what happened.
For the
yes.
Golden Globes, exactly. And it'll probably work for the Oscars.
Yes.
It's too bad because, like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, Judi Dench, like, these are good actors who I like seeing, you know, and,
right.
And they're fine in it, but, it's just, yeah, Kate Hudson doesn't really do anything.
No, Kate Hudson is really painful to watch, and the movie is lifeless, I think, despite the presence of some strong actors. And
it looks good, but it's just like, yeah, there's just nothing.
No, there really isn't. So disappointing because, you know, we get like one or two big musicals a year, and it'd be nice to see them succeed, but this one just doesn't. I mean, I thought Rob Marshall did a better job with Chicago.
Yeah, and which I thought was good, but a little overrated. And yeah. I honestly thought it picked up a lot of the stuff that they didn't give to Moulin Rouge to be like, oh, hey, musicals are cool again.
You yeah.
know? And I like musicals a lot.
Right.
So, and he knows how to shoot them, you know?
Yeah, he does. It looks decent, but although some of the black and white, the flashbacks are a little too perfume commercially for me.
Yeah, well, I think it was kind of like that whole Italian cinema in, you know, the 60s and
right.
Whatnot,
that's what he's going for, but it looks like sort of a copy of that rather than the real thing.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so that opens on Christmas, but you should not see it.
If you like musicals, there's really nothing out. And you love musicals, then, you know, and you miss Glee.
Miss Glee. Yeah, maybe, but I think still you could probably rent something.
I'll give it 2.5 Josh Bells.
Yeah, I would only give it, I think, 2 out of 5. I really just didn't think it worked.
Yeah.
But definitely see The Road. I think that's the thing to see this weekend, or, you know, if you have time over the holidays. Take your whole family to see The Road.
Maybe on Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a really life-affirming kind of thing. It'll become a holiday classic. So definitely check that out. And my thanks to Jason Harris for joining me this week.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yes, you sound so enthused.
I like the holidays.
Why all right. Well, happy holidays. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything
except me.